So, hi Ollie, thanks for coming to the show. Really nice to see you.
Nice to meet you, and see you too.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this such a long time. So, you know, I'm a big fan of your band, Coastal Fire Department.
I know, and I still find it a little bit weird that we have fans, but I definitely know you're a fan, and it's very much appreciated, every single one.
How did you guys meet, and about the name, Coastal Fire Department?
So the name is quite simple. We live in Guernsey, and it's in the Channel Islands, which is off the south of England, and we can see the French coast. I was walking along after work one night, and I looked out and saw the coast, and it looked like it was all red and it's on fire. I actually thought, ooh, I wonder if they've got a fire department that deals with coastal fires. And I got home and I put it into Google, and there's no such thing as a coastal fire department. And I thought, perfect. It's the perfect name for a band. It means nothing. So it's something that doesn't exist. It's a small island, so a lot of people know a lot of people. And it's basically friends that know each other through music. The band started in about 2013, and it's been through a few changes. I'm the only same person through that. But it's in a really good, settled state now. We've got everybody we need. In my mind, it's quite close to where we want to be.
So firstly, it was actually a four-piece band, or...?
Yeah, so first of all, it was a four-piece. And then one of the people left just before our first gig, so we became a three-piece for a while.
Like Nirvana?
Yeah, and then so we did that as a three-piece, and then we did the first album as a three-piece, and we just got a couple of guests in to help out where we needed it, guitarists for a little bit, and then we sort of felt more solid as a four-piece. But when Bob left last year, we did do a few gigs as a three-piece, and it wouldn't worry me if we had to do it again. In fact, John has a problem with his thumb sometimes, so worst case scenario, if he couldn't do a gig, we'll do it as a three-piece, and he's fine with that, and I'm fine with that.
But you see the advantage of having an extra guitar.
Oh, yeah, definitely want two guitars, definitely.
I would like to talk a little bit about Outsiders, because you just released a new record, which is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have it on repeat. And, you know, my favorite one is What Do I, by Human Safari Gentleman and Stranger Town. They're brilliant. Let's talk a little bit about this record.
What it is we've made a change as a band. In fact, we've worked out quite quickly or recently that unless you're a really big band, albums don't cut it. And also people have short attention spans. So we've deliberately turned into a singles band. So when we released Loner, Gun and What Do I, we were impacted a little bit by COVID, but it was fine because all we wanted to do was get out three singles. We had these other songs as well that we wanted to be singles, and which we've obviously released over the last 6 months. And then we've just packaged them together as an album. So everything on Outsiders, apart from Gouge Away, which obviously is a cover, were all written in and around the same time with the same sort of ideas or the same sort of feeling. So if we only do sort of singles going forward, we'll only group together batches that were sort of written and played around the same time to keep that sort of feel. So on Outsiders, there's eight songs. So there's seven originals, seven of about 12 that came out of about 40 to 50. We constantly cut and filter and cut and filter and drop, and anything that doesn't work, we just dump it straight away. Whilst it might sound good as an album, it's probably because we've jettisoned all the rubbish.
But it's mainly you, Ollie, writing the songs, or...?
So it is all me at the moment, although we're now working on really brand new stuff, and John's coming up with a few ideas, and we're down to about 15 songs at the moment, and we're looking to get five or six singles out of that, if possible. But I started at about 30. John's contributed a few things, and we're just sort of jamming them, going away, coming back, jamming them, going away, and we'll see what sort of comes out.
But usually when you go to the studio, you have all the song written.
Yeah, everything is done.
All the arrangements too, so it's like there is no contribution from Ozzy or the others.
Well, what we usually do is, when we go into the studio, there's only one or two songs where we've not played them live. So What Do I, we never played live. We'd jam the riffs in rehearsals. We'd look for the right tempo. We knew it was going to work. And then I just went into the studio and I recorded it to click. And then we brought in everybody when we needed them to do their part. Cry Your Heart Out, more or less put together in the studio, just from me jamming and knowing that it will work in a recorded studio wise. But then things like Gentleman and Gun and one or two others, Lona, we all played live. So there, that was already sort of well worked out.
I think What Do I is something magical. It gets me very emotional every time that I listen to it.
We just think that the best music to get out is the most commercial, because then there's more chance of it being played. And so we knew that What Do I was the most accessible and the most commercial. And so we left that to last before we really gave it great guns. But again, we'd never played it. And in fact, I wasn't even sure we'd ever play it live.
So you were highly surprised at the way it turned at the end.
Yeah, totally surprised. Never expected it. I knew it was accessible and commercial, but I didn't expect it to take off.
I should say that it's my Smell Like Teen Spirit.
Well, that's really nice to know. Thank you.
I noticed that there are some influences, you know, some Pixies and Madonna too. I can hear.
We are trying to be a little bit rough and ready and a little bit out there. Not too smooth. So when somebody says Mudhoney, I think awesome, because they've been there, done it, seen it.
But also Flaming Lips and Sonic Youth.
Yeah, so Flaming Lips, I've never had that one. Sonic Youth, yeah, I'm a massive fan. The breakdown section in Gun, I try to replicate a Sonic Youth sort of style there.
Actually, I got very inspired by Lee Ranaldo once I was at his concert.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was so curious why he had like so many guitars there. And I was looking at the back, and for each guitar, you had like a tape with different tunings.
I think I've seen pictures of the Sonic Youth guitars. It's on the back of their headstock.
Yeah.
And as much as I would like to experiment with tunings, and we have done on one or two songs, the problem is recreating that live is just going to kill the show. So we do a couple of songs in drop C sharp, because we all play down half a step. That would mean very quickly getting to drop C sharp, and off we go.
I see, and I talk with so many bands, most of them, they are into this home studio nowadays, and plugins and everything is digital. I would like to get your opinion about it.
Some people can create amazing stuff digitally, like that, digital amps and the like. We are very much a studio band, but we have changed our style. So originally we'd go in and we'd record bass and drums, and then we'd go back and overdub the guitars, and then we'd tidy up. During COVID and the lockdowns, and I really wanted to sort of record our music, I realised that it'd be better just to record them in bits exactly to click. And when we were originally recording drums and bass, we couldn't quite get it to click. But recording it in chunks exactly to click means that the bass, the drums, everybody has to be tight. And so we do it in little sections. At the moment, it'll be me and Mikey, the producer. We'll go in, we'll put together our basic drum tracks, and we'll put together the songs. And then we go away and we'll get Ozzy in, or we get Syed in, or and John. The way we can do that one is that we can record guide vocals as well. And we can send it to Ozzy, who's got his own studio, take the drums out. So then he's working with a, not a finished song, but a really good idea of the song.
So the drums comes to us.
Yeah, we'll record the drums, and then we'll go back in and we'll probably overdub some of the guitars. We'll probably add some lead. We'll do final vocals. So it's almost like starting off the basics and then building again.
Butch Wig and Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins, they were talking about this. I think Gish, the first record, was recorded without a click.
Yep.
But then they have some issues with the Siamese Dreams, a couple of songs that were just complicated to record without a click.
Yep. I don't think there's much difference between click and live feel. In fact, I think click makes a song sound massive. It also means that when Ozzy nails a verse or a chorus, we just cut and paste that one in. Same with guitars, even vocals. Sometimes when I've done a vocal for a chorus, I don't want to do the same chorus over and over. We'll just use that as for the chorus.
So how many takes usually takes for you to record a song?
Mike usually gets me to do a song 3-4 times. If he doesn't like the phrasing or words in on one of the verses, he can swap it around. And then I'll go away and listen to it all, and then I might come back and overdub or redo or something like that. It's not like I'm trying to do anything really interesting with my voice. You know, the grungy alt rock needs a little bit of looseness, needs a little bit of noise, needs a bit of whatever.
It's like it's only you singing then.
Yeah, so if there's a song and I think, you know what, so-and-so's vocals would sound better there, I'm going to go and get that person and get them to contribute, because it's the overall output. It doesn't all have to be me. When we did Gun, I knew I couldn't sing the chorus how I heard it in my head, and so I got a guy in to do that, and I think it sounds all right.
How your life has changed across the years? Are you still listening to the same kind of bands or music?
I'm probably in between, because I do come across a lot of people. There's a guy I work with, and he was based in Seattle when all the grunge was kicking off. And he was following around Nirvana and Soundgarden and all these sort of guys. And he said, "You know what, Ollie? My music starts in the 70s and ends in 1995. I don't listen to anything else." And I found that really bizarre. And I said, "What about new music?" He said, "Yeah, occasionally, but not a lot." Now, for me, it's I'm a bit of both. I mean, I like new music. I like searching for new music. I like the probably for me one of the best eras for say guitar-driven music was the 90s. There's a lot of genres out there that I follow closely, and there's a few I don't listen to at all. There's no point. I wouldn't get any enjoyment out of them. So I'm constantly listening for new music, but I think I'm less and less impressed with bands these days because a lot of it's already been done. As a little sideline, I run Lilo Records. Even though I make it quite clear we're not really into indie rock, people will send me their demos, and it's just another Oasis band, it's another Arctic Monkeys band. I wasn't a really massive Oasis fan, but I'm trying to think, if you're going to take an influence, at least go and put your stamp on it. And there are some grungy bands like that who are just trying to be the next Nirvana, and they're trying to replicate his singing, and they're trying to replicate the sloppy guitaring or whatever it is. And I'm just like, come on, guys, you can take elements of that, but don't try and just be the next Nirvana. It's boring.
They try to play safe. That's what I see. Yeah. If you're listening to the same kind of band over and over, then there is a chance that you'll get inspired or you'll get something from that kind of sound. So I can remember when I was listening to the Get Up Kids, it's like unconsciously I was getting inspiration from them. It's like when I was playing the record of somebody else, it's like they were telling me, it's like I can hear some Get Up Kids there. That's why.
Yeah, so I what I do is when I'm in creative mode, and I'm in that mode at the moment, I put together a little playlist of music that really is inspiring me at that point in time. And it try and be modern, but there will be a couple of old songs in there. And I put a little playlist together, no more than an hour. And then I listen to that playlist, try and remind myself consciously and subconsciously, what are the good parts of that song and the songwriting or the sound? And so when I get to writing, some of it might rub off, or I might sort of use some of their approaches. I do recognise that some of the music of Coastal Fire Department now, I don't know what it sounds like because we're not using cues or any bands for reference points. It's coming out and it's just us.
I would like to know how you guys work with promotion.
There are so many bands out there that won't promote and won't do much about their music. On one angle, I just think that's really disappointing. But on the other angle, I'm thinking, great, if there's 20 bands out there can't be bothered, I'm going to be bothered. Generally, we have a posting schedule. If something all of a sudden crops up, we're going to post about it if it's interesting. A few years ago, there was an island blackout, all electricity cut. And so I think as soon as the electricity came back on, I posted, oh, sorry, we were rehearsing and... And we went for this really noisy section and all the power on the island cut off, sorry. And we just made a laugh of it. But generally, everything's planned. And if we're in promotion period, we don't stick to the schedule so much. We'll be talking about an interview that's coming up or a review or a radio or whatever. And we get a lot of plays on very small stations and big ones, big blogs, small blogs. We all need to give them the same amount of time, the same amount of encouragement. And I'd say in about 2-3 weeks' time, we probably won't be doing much radio like that. We'll be back to our schedule of...
Right.
You know, when we did Snare Drum Saturday and a Friday Funny and a Throwback Thursday and a Tech Tuesday, we'll be back into that sort of swing.
It's like how often a band should actually post something on the internet?
The whole music industry and social media has changed the way that people sort of get their music. And if you're not posting regularly, unfortunately, you're less likely to be seen. But the important thing, I think, is to mix it up. So it's not always talking about you, your music. I hear so many people say, I can't do daily. It is piss easy to do daily. I do most of it. I don't think it takes me more than 10, 15 minutes a day. If I see something funny, I'm just going to save it on my phone. Bang, I've done.
No, but you have the creativity to describe things happening around you, like all the stories about Guernsey.
So we had Snare Drum Saturday with Ozzy, and we did about 23 episodes. I think he's got about another 12. We're never too sure if his wife knows or not how many snare drums he's got. So we have to be careful.
Where is hiding all of them?
All over the place. And then his wife said to me, after about 6 episodes, they could all be his snares. So we had Snare Drum Saturday, and then we ran out. And then I thought, what can we replace it with?
Yeah.
I was out walking, looking for locations for Cry Your Heart Out video. And when I was out on the coast, I thought, oh, that beach looks a little bit like where Jaws was filmed. You know, the starting scene. I thought, oh, I'm going to do something silly about that. So I recorded it. If I'm out anywhere and I see anything interesting, and I know about it. And sometimes it's true. I'll quickly record it.
I think all those stories about something mystic, sci-fi, yeah. I think it works.
I'll do a time travel one on Monday for you about a time traveler that came to Guernsey. And there's a little bit of evidence too. And I'll leave it to you guys to work out if it's true or false.
Can't wait for that one. But do you feel actually scared, Ollie, that people get to know you too deeply or in a personal level through social medias?
Well, they don't really know the real me. And if people think they know Ollie, cool, you don't really, but you know me on one sort of level. If one person comes up to me after a gig or one person comments on our posts and says, I like that song, my job's done. That I've connected or we've connected with someone, fantastic. I mean, I've had people come up to me after gigs and said, oh, I really like your guitar tone. I'd probably go home thinking, that's the best comment I've had.
Now, usually when I found like myself talking with these people, they're a little bit skeptical about rock and roll or grunge music is not coming back. And then I just go straight away. Have you listened to Coastal Fire Department?
I'm not even sure that we are grungy enough at times. That's my big doubt. The direction we're going in is a little bit harder, a little bit looser, a little bit punkier. But we obviously pick things from grunge and just mixed it up and thrown a bit of our own idea in.
But you think the sound will change in the future?
It'll be an evolution of the sound. It won't be too far away. Songs like What Do I and Cry Your Heart Out probably won't be recorded or played so much. Or we're just going more toward a loner, a gentleman, I don't want to hold your hand. Songs like that, that's probably where we're heading.
Playing live shows is still a thing nowadays, especially considering all social medias and stuff.
That's a really good question. I know that in the UK, the live music scene for sort of alternative music is very tricky. I mean, there are gigs that are being cancelled because of lack of ticket sales. We've played a few gigs in the UK. So it's really difficult to get people off their sofas out to music. But when they're out there, then they really enjoy it. We've got 8,000 followers on social media. If we get 50 to 100 people at a gig here locally, we've done very, very well. You and I, we may or may not meet, but other people far away, we're probably never going to meet, but we can always interact, we can always talk about music. There's lots of American grungy bands I love. I'm never going to go and see them, so I'd rather follow them on social media, I'd rather support them from afar. But if they were travelling or nearby, I'd go and see them, yeah.
Have you ever felt to give up, and why you feel that you still have to make music?
I never give up on anything. I really enjoy music. I really enjoy putting it out there. I enjoy getting some comments back. I don't need the attention. I don't care. In fact, if nobody turned up to any gigs, we'd still be putting the music out there and still having fun. We're going to continue to try and evolve and get better. Sometimes I might feel challenged, but I'm always going to come up with a plan and I'm always going to deliver.
Well, the way I feel is just I will come to your shows, guys, not only to listen to the songs, but also to listen to your stories, because you have a lot to tell.
Try and read the crowd a little bit at gigs. If they seem to be receptive and chatty or whatever, I will actually talk a little bit about the song, because I don't know if anybody really picks up on what the songs are about sometimes, so I'm happy to explain them. We're no different to anybody else, you know, we all love music. I mean, we're happy to chat about music. All crazy shit as well.
No, but I really like when like a band introduces a song. I was thinking about Frank Turner, for example.
Yeah.
When he explains the song and then start playing the song. But on the other side, when I was at Lemonheads concert or Evan Dando, it's like he plays without like no breaks, no talk.
I've seen the Lemonheads and I know exactly what you're on about. But also bands like the Pixies don't say a word. A friend of mine's son manages the Pixies. And she went to see the Pixies for the first time this year. And she was amazed. They turned up on stage, said absolutely nothing apart from good night at the end, and then walked off. It is a bit weird, but actually that's what they're about. So sometimes I chat, sometimes I don't. When we did Human Safari a few weeks ago, I explained I was getting fed up with seeing fat Americans shooting dead animals on safaris, and I actually thought about me putting together a safari about shooting them. And after the song, everybody quite enjoyed it. I said, who's coming on a safari? Shall I go and book it? And everyone's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. So like, you're coming, yeah. Right, I said, I'll book it. We're going. I don't know when, but we're going. And it's all part of just interacting.
Yeah, of course, when I was a kid, I loved to go to zoos and to see those big animals. But nowadays, it's like, I feel a bit sad when I see those animals caged.
I think if you are going to keep wild animals, for whatever reason, that they should have appropriate space. You might get an elephant that is injured, can't fend for itself, and you put them in a zoo or a reserve and you look after it and whatever. So I've got no problems with that. It's just when you're taking from the wild and just stuffing your zoos, that's not acceptable. And then for me, Human Safari as a song is people paying large sums of money to go to reserves to shoot these animals, and then boasting about it online is just so disgusting for me. There's no need for it.
Ollie, I would like to know just about Coastal Fire Department future goals.
So we have really easy goals. If we release a single and it gets 1,000 streams on Spotify, we are so happy. We're over the moon. Now, a lot of bands would laugh at us. Future goals is probably just to play a little bit more live. We got a couple of gigs in the UK. We've got a few more this year. So we're probably on about 4 or 5 gigs in the UK. We've been offered gigs in the USA, and we really want to do that. But it's just going to be a difficulty doing a visa. So I suppose if we're going to have a goal, it's to gig in the USA and do something really meaningful and interesting. We'd love to do it.
No, I'll be really glad to see you live, guys. Hope that you will come like to Sweden.
If you could organise a few gigs, and I don't know if grungy alt rock is popular in Sweden, we'd come.
No, actually, yesterday night I was in this club. It's called The Baser.
Yeah.
And he was famous for having all those posters of like Strokes, Joy Division, yeah, and stuff. And now it's just turned into a disco club.
Although I got to say, so when we gig away, so we gigged in London the end of last year. And everything, so I mean, the gig's finished by 11, and me and the band, we wanted to carry on drinking. So we ended up going to a nightclub until about 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. We weren't there for any dancing. We were just there to carry on drinking and being silly.
Blending in,
yeah,
with the young.
I mean, we had a competition going about who can meet famous people. I saw somebody look like Bruce Lee, so I ended up having to go up to him and say, look, I've got a competition with my bandmates. Who can be seen with people that look alike? And he said, yeah, sure. So I had a picture of Bruce Lee in a nightclub at 4 o'clock in the morning. And wherever we gig, if people want to come and tag along and have a few beers with us and whatever, have a bit of fun, you're more than welcome. Everyone is always welcome.
And Ollie, should we share where people can find your music?
So let's be honest, people will rubbish this, but the main place to find music is Spotify. 86% of people do that. Spotify is your best bet. You can find us on Amazon, Apple, Bandcamp, all of that as well. We're on YouTube. We're very active on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to give us a follow there, that's awesome. And we love interacting. But, you know, you comment, we're gonna respond because we just think it's the right thing to do.
How does it go with TikTok?
Oh, we are on TikTok, apparently. But Saeed runs the TikTok. So, yeah, we are on TikTok. We just do random stuff on there. But Ozzy's got a bit of a following on TikTok because sometimes when he's seen out and about in Guernsey, young kids... So go, that's the drummer from Coastal Fire Department. Are you Aussie? So he's got
yeah, cool.
We are deadly, deadly serious about our music and everything around that. But everything else is we're going to have fun and we are going to rip the piss a little bit, and we are going to take the piss out of ourselves. We are also going to take the piss out of other people. But mainly it's the music, and then everything else we're going to have a scream.
I think I can leave you with this one.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to have you today, actually.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. All the best. Yeah, and you.
Speak soon. Bye, man.